Peter, we're going to do a quick cold open.
Yeah, so keep this in.
Yeah, this will be a cold open. All right. So how are we going to do this? Like, man, that was the best.
You want me to start it off?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that Vicarage sermon was really quite amazing. You know, not just the service itself, which was very tasteful, but also the preaching. You know, it was textual. It was very well applied to the student body. I think it was really what they needed to hear, and I thought it was really quite amazing.
Well, thank you.
Oh, I was talking about St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, that was a good sermon.
Recorded live at Talks and Tasting Studios, it's the Clerical Errors Podcast, the podcast that shows you what's behind the collar. Let's go.
From the Talks and Tasting Studios, this is the Clerical Errors Podcast, the podcast that shows you
what's behind the collar.
This is Bullhagen.
This is Vicar.
Good to have you with us today. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. I was referring to the Will Smith song, Son.
Oh, okay. Sure.
So, yeah, I just got back from my little Indiana trip. You hear noise, it's because it's pouring. And I have not yet soundproofed the roof.
Yeah, it's raining really hard.
So, but yeah, I just got back from Indiana. That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, how was your stay over there?
It was great. It's great. I surprised with an award, the church and I.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
The Winnikin Award. So, yeah, I wasn't expecting that. So,
yeah, well, I mean, that's just the third time it's been handed out. I don't think anybody was expecting to hear that.
So
but you deserve it for all your years of service to the church.
I don't know. I don't know. Do I?
Well, Trinity does anyway.
It's so hard, you know, for the last 20 years making fun of the vicar.
Fair enough.
So my first thought was like, why did they name this award after like a classroom building?
But, yeah, it's named after the building, not the person.
That was kind of odd. But yeah, it was, I don't know, I just wasn't expecting it. So now I know, Vicar, that if this whole Vicar thing doesn't work out, it's probably not me.
Well, you've got 19 that are now, that are still in the ministry. Well, 18, one about to be. And none of them have left, so.
Well, he's got a successful call, so.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what happened, by the way, when I preached?
What's that?
Probably my favorite things that happened. So I'm in the basement, like ready for the procession, right? And then the bulletins just get passed out, and I'm kind of visiting with the circle professors there, right there. You know that I'm talking about by the restrooms, right there.
Oh yeah, that little alcove underneath.
Right, right. And they hand out the bulletins, and I said, "Oh no! Every single one of my pages are upside down." Everyone in that little circle of professors look so, oh no, like a just complete look of dread on their faces. And I said, oh, oops, sorry, I was holding it upside down.
How many professors does it take to reorient a bulletin?
But yeah, it was, they all bought it.
That's great. It's those little things like that that really make the experience.
Right, right. And it was cool too. I had never preached in the pulpit before over there.
Yeah. Yeah, and your dad used to be a professor there. So.
Right. In fact, he used to be the one who was handing out the vicarage placement and then later the final call placements. So,
yeah, I bet that was really a, kind of a cool experience for you to be able to stand in the same pulpit on.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it was a fun experience all around. I got a text from Hannah. From the podcast mom of I don't remember exactly what she said. Something like, don't mess us up or something.
Don't say anything stupid.
Hopefully I didn't.
No, you didn't. Which is why it will be unmemorable.
That's right.
Kidding.
That's right. And yeah, it was a really, really cool experience all the way around. And you had a watch party over here.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a good, pretty good crowd. I think there was 12 or 15 people showed up to watch. They're very proud of your work at Trinity and very excited to see who the next vicar was.
Yeah. I don't know what I should say more, but I'm kind of tired.
you've had a long week.
Yeah. Yep. We got a lot going on here yet. So yeah. A few more sermons to go in the next day or two.
Yeah. You've got two more sermons to write.
So, we're doing it on a Friday afternoon. So, just us two, we're going to play the sermon at the end. This will be short. I didn't even have time for a top 12 list.
I think they can do without one. You all will
survive. So what am I preaching on?
You are preaching on the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Jesus said, "But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for I do not go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go away, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you."
This is an awesome text.
Yeah.
Because, it explains the ascension a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And why that's, it's to our advantage that he ascended into heaven.
Right, that the Helper might be sent to us. Yeah.
And you have another discussion of the authority of Christ and how he gives that to the church. You also have the authority of the apostles, and I would say the New Testament scriptures, how the Holy Spirit will guide them and also in the remembrance, and how we equate the Holy Spirit with truth. And we have what the message is going to be of both law and gospel, one that condemns this world and sin, and by the power of the resurrection, by his death, and also righteousness. And to me, that's a beautiful passage where Jesus kind of puts this all together. And he also then mentions, "I got many more things I want to say, but the only way that you can really understand this is just watch what happens next."
Yeah, it's kind of reminiscent of the call of Nathanael at the beginning of John's gospel when he says something to the effect of, "You believe because I've said this to you, you know, just wait around. You're going to see many things greater than this."
Yeah, and so it's a kind of a beautiful text as we're getting inching closer to things like ascension,
mm-hmm.
And the fact that this really is Jesus explaining how he is opening this up to the world and this church, that this victory will be so that the apostles can go out with the authority of God's word, so that Jesus can be found wherever his word is found, that his word is trustworthy and true because they carry the power of the Holy Spirit that leads them and guides them. And that you know the Holy Spirit is working in that word because you have the word. It is a spirit of truth, not a spirit of emotion, not a spirit of that you try and artificially generate, a spirit that works through the truth of God's word that confronts the lies of the world. We talked earlier, a few months ago, I don't remember, it was in Lent, when we were talking about all the kind of demonic activity, and how demons, they lack something very important. They don't have a body.
Yeah.
And so, ultimately, when you look at the work of the devil, if you work at the work of demons, ultimately, it is an information game. when the devil tempted Adam and Eve, it was an information thing. When Jesus talks about the devil, he is the father of
lies.
Lies. When the devil appeared to Jesus in the wilderness, it was a battle of ideas. Now, because and that's what I think it's really important to remember, because we place a lot of things on what demons do and what the devil does, but ultimately, I think it really is an information thing.
Yeah, I think you raise a really interesting point with the fact that he does come with attacks regarding like information, and the fact that they don't have a body really puts into perspective, I think, all the attacks that you see through scripture, right? So like with Adam and Eve, it's getting them their bodies to die. With the temptations in the wilderness, it's tempting Jesus with bodily goods, right?
Mm-hmm.
With turning the stones to bread, all the world's riches, these sorts of things. So yeah, I think you raise a really interesting point with that observation.
And that then goes to, one, the point of the text then. How do you fight them? Well, you have a Holy Spirit who then also works in the information business, the Spirit of truth, overwhelming those lies. And it would only make sense then that the Holy Spirit, then when he works through the truth. And another point that this then leads us is to think about the importance of the sacraments. Is they're physical things.
Yeah, connected to that word of truth.
Right. And how the how important it is that the resurrection is a bodily resurrection. And that when we are raised from the dead, we are raised with real bodies. We're not like the spirits.
Yeah, exactly. We don't, heaven isn't the end all be all, but we'll be raised again with a new heaven and a new earth with new bodies.
And so I think that aspect of it, of the resurrection, the Spirit of truth, where it ultimately is information that is the biggest part of, or not the biggest, like kind of the struggle that we face when we think of what demons do, what the Holy Spirit overwhelms. Mm-hmm. And I suppose, people will say a lot of the things that in the internet is kind of strange. How could like the internet be demonic? Well,
it's all information.
Right.
Which right. Really makes sense when you think about like people who attack the church. It's never, of course there are places where people are massacred, but generally speaking in like America today, it's people attacking the church intellectually where they're trying to cloud your idea and understanding of God.
Right. Right. So how is this, as we kind of go down this rabbit hole, how is this for an understanding of AI? And we have a great AI discussion we'll have. I want to have it with Berg because we have an email from our podcast mom. But I want you to think about this. So for example, when Jesus drove out the demon, the legion of demons, and they went into the pigs and they drowned in the water. Or we have Jesus talk about cleaning out the house and they're searching for, they're floating around the waterless places, searching for a home, right? Isn't that a good way to kind of describe AI? Where it is this information, it's its own way of thinking, of controlling. And what is AI ultimately looking for? Us.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it can't do anything of its own accord.
Right. It has to infect us. Yeah. it's just an information thing. What's the harm in that? Well,
Well, there could be a lot of harm in
right.
that. Yeah.
AI needs bodies, people. if people have an opinion on this discussion, where can they get a hold of us?
They can email us at feedback@clericalerrors.org. They can also find us on Facebook at Clerical Errors. Sorry, it's at Facebook, on Facebook, at facebook.com/clericalerrors. Right? Yeah, /clericalerrors.
Go to Facebook
sorry,
and search
I'm having
Clerical
like
Errors
a total memory slip right now.
That's all right.
And then they can find us on X.
X me, bro.
At Clerical Errors P.
P for podcast.
Bro.
So we're just going to keep this short today. We just need to, we have an unbroken streak of podcasts. Congratulations to Patrick. Soon he'll be getting his name in Chattanooga.
That's right. Yes. 19.0 has been placed. So congratulations to him.
And I look forward to being there for your ordination. And 21.0, actually, I talked to him. I didn't say anything about the podcast. So he's probably ruminating about what he's going to get into now.
Probably. I'm sure he's found it.
And also congratulations to Hannah and her congregation, who also has a new vicar.
Yeah.
And we're looking very much forward to getting an update on our app, a new Jacob.
That's right.
So, well, we'll end it here. Peter wanted to play the sermon at the end, so we will do that. Thank you for listening. I'm Bull Higgin.
And this is Vicar.
And may your spirit be a spirit of truth.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Maybe see. When I told a few people about me preaching this sermon, I had about 5, 6, maybe even more people ask me, are you going to tell them to love the people? That could happen today. That's can be a hard one, actually. I understand the sentiment of love your people. What is often not heard is what a cross that is to bear. I am reminded of a grandmother who loved her grandchildren. She suffered greatly as she approached death. She didn't want to use certain kinds of pain medications because it made her a little too foggy. She wanted to pray in her last moments of life for her grandchildren. As she approached death, that is what troubled her. She wanted to be with Jesus, and the cross she bore was from loving her grandchildren. As I studied the text for today, I thought of her. Paul mentions many times in Ephesians that he is a prisoner. The verse before our text, Paul tells to the saints of Ephesus, don't lose heart over what I am suffering. It is for your glory. He was suffering. But that's not what he wanted them to think about. He called it glory. What was suffering for Paul was the divisions that entered the church. What was suffering for Paul was false teaching that threatened the people of God when the gospel was promised and was compromised by those who rejected God's word that robbed them of their hope. Paul loved them, but he suffered. Paul, by worldly standards, suffered greatly in the eyes of the world. He was in prison. They sought and meant that he would suffer. But that's not what he prayed about. He bowed his knees in prayer, it says, When Paul says, I bow my knees in prayer, he's not, I don't think, giving us some liturgical proper way to pray. He bowed his knees because he was suffering. Paul prayed to the Father from whom every family is named in heaven on earth, falling on his knees because he was bearing a cross for them. One of the most pernicious things the devil did to Adam and Eve and the generations that followed. He made love to feel like a curse. Let me make it first impossible for them to love God. Let me make it impossible for them to love others as the Father designed. And if the gospel comes to them, if the waters of baptism washes them clean, and they begin to see things as God does by the gospel, I am going to make sure it costs you. I am going to make sure it cuts you to the heart. I'm going to make sure you lose sleep at night. I'll make sure a grandmother in death finds her greatest need to pray for her grandchildren. Because that suffering was greater than the pains of death. Talk to any pastor, for example, that went through the pandemic. Ask him what the suffering was like. And then ask the people, or ask them as they love their people. Ask them about the pain that they faced. What happens when the word of God is met with apathy, or when the word of God grows cold, or when division closes ears, when sports become a religion, when you feel like you're sending your people into a den of lions and wolves? Ask them what it's like to love them. There are joys. The joys are even greater, proclaiming he is risen at the grave, hearing the precious confession of faith, washing them clean of their sins, watching them battle infirmities with hope, forgiving them of sins with the voice of Christ. Those are the joys, but yet there are pains. So certainly love the people you serve. I wholeheartedly agree. It's kind of a meme at this point. Just don't be naive about it. We think of the death of Jesus. What gets our attention is the nails, the beatings, the crown of thorns. That gets our attention. But you see what he suffered and what he prayed. Praying to the Father he loved. Father, why have you forsaken me? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, you can see what actually soothes him. And it not only soothes him, it should soothe you, fellow pastors, fellow future pastors, deaconesses, future deaconesses. It should comfort brothers and sisters in Christ, grandmothers and grandfathers who pray for their grandchildren, mothers and fathers, friends and neighbors, any of you who have loved in a way that the devil seeks to make that love feel like a curse. You have a Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth that has been named, the Father that Jesus teaches us to pray, hears your prayers. He sends the Holy Spirit to renew you in your inner being. It is a blessing to be rooted and grounded in love, because you would still have it any other way, because the Word of God is true and the gospel is powerful. The love of God is so high, so deep, so long, that Paul prays that they may have strength to even begin to comprehend it. The love of God that Paul prays that surpasses all knowledge. Love that breathed life into you. Love that is clearly displayed on the cross where he died for all of your sins, that he may declare to you the forgiveness of your sins. What soothed Paul is that he prayed to a God who is able to do far more than we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to whom all glory belongs. He hears your prayers. The God who is able to do more than you ask or think. You are blessed that he hears you. As for the occasion today, I should probably talk about, we have deaconess interns and vicars. I know you vicars well enough that you won't remember anything I say unless I say something stupid. And I trust that the interns, the deaconess interns, are a little more sanctified than that. And if you hear Hampton, Iowa after your name, there will be a quiz on the sermon. But my prayer for you is that you lose sleep at night, that you have trouble sleeping, because it shows God has turned your cold heart to learn to love. I pray that you learn to carry that cross for the sake of Christ at his church, because what a blessed thing it is to love, even though it is a cross. We are here because love was given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. So now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. This podcast is available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Questions, thoughts, concerns? You can contact us on Facebook at facebook.com/clericalerrorspodcast, on Twitter at clericalerrorsp for podcast, or email us at feedback@clericalerrors.org. Thanks for listening to Clerical Errors. See you next time.